Ladies and gentlemen, 7:01. Adequate notice of this meeting is required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted on the former bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. Notice was also published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Will the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Lapode?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Tickton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Allentown?
Here. Just a couple of quick updates. An exciting election last week in many ways. We end up with three people running for two council seats, and we're expecting a number of write-in campaigns. We had the 80th commencement of the Roosevelt Public School. Absolutely beautiful weather. There was also a reunion for everybody who graduated from RPS, and to welcome them back in the morning, we started with our first brown water emergency in quite a while. I want to thank Dr. Lapode and Kelly for pulling through and driving from hydrant to hydrant, emptying them out. I saw some of them being emptied out, and they were the brownest ick you've ever seen. This does not indicate a problem with our water plant. They did a backwash on, I believe it was Saturday night. They certainly could have picked
Friday night.
They could have picked a better night to do it, but all the water was running clear by the time the commencement started. We also had a school evacuation drill today. For those of you who saw many children being crossed from the school over to the Borough Hall, apparently that went very well. I do understand that there was some minor interference, but we're going to deal with that later. We'd ask that if you come upon one of those unannounced evacuations, that you let it complete before talking to anybody who's there. And just a final reminder, there is no meeting on the 20th. The next meeting will be the second Monday in July.
You mean on the 26th?
26th. I mean the 26th. Actually, I meant the 20th, but I was wrong. So, can I get a motion to approve the minutes of April 24th, 2017?
Excuse me, Mayor, can I make a correction to your statement? I believe that four people ran for two council seats. You said three.
No, I said three people were on the ticket.
You said three people ran for two seats.
Three people are running for two seats on the council in November.
Well, no, I'm talking about the primary. Four people ran for two seats on the
primary. In the primary, there were 20-some-odd people on the ballot. There were four people who ran for two seats in the...
On our council.
On our council. Now there are three people running for two seats in the general election in November, unless there are write-ins. Anyway, can I have a motion for approval of the minutes of April 24th, 2017?
So moved.
Do you have a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Could I change something on the minutes?
Oh, yeah. Discussion.
Okay. Page 7 of 7, Council Member Trammell stated that the cost be spread over a period of time.
Speak up, please.
Page 7 of 7, Council Member Trammell stated that the cost be spread over a period of time. That's taken out of context, so I'd like to strike that. Last line.
Does anybody have an objection to striking that line? Okay. Right. Are there other questions, comments, suggestions?
Yeah, this is very minor, but on page 5 of 7, the Planning Board has not meant. Since last council meeting, it should be met.
Sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
Planning Board is not met.
Oh, it's not meant? It's not meant to be?
Could be, but...
Thank you.
Although, in your defense, I got an announcement from the League of Municipalities, who clearly does not know the difference between effect and affect, but we will point that out to them. We now come to public comment.
Are you going to vote on that?
Oh, yes, we do a vote. Right, sorry.
As amended,
yes. One more question. Are there any other comments, questions, or corrections? No. Okay. Now can we have a vote on that?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Abstain.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tipton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
We now move to public comment on the consent agenda. Does anybody in the public have anything to say or questions regarding the consent agenda? Any questions or discussion about, I'm sorry, do I have a motion for the consent agenda?
Move the consent agenda.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. Do we have any comments, questions about the consent agenda?
Well, it shouldn't be comments, questions about the consent agenda if somebody wants to pull something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Usually happens first.
I'll be more specific. Does anybody want to pull anything from the consent agenda?
I'd like to ask that the on the payment of the bills list that the borough attorney bill be removed so that we can discuss that bill
so
after
you want
the meeting.
No, you want to remove 17-84 from the consent agenda. That's payment of bills.
Yeah, I guess. Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's do it that way.
That's right. That's
right. Yeah.
Does anybody want to remove anything else from the consent agenda? May I have a roll call on the consent agenda as modified by the removal of 1784?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tipton?
Aye.
Aye.
Resolution 1784. I think there's a bunch of questions on that, so Mr. Hamilton, if you'd like to start.
Yeah, I have some questions, and I think some other members of the Finance Committee have some questions about the recent borough attorney bill. So I'd just like that pulled from the bills list so that we can review it. Hopefully we can review it right after the meeting if Mr. Shackley's available. I didn't want to have him come out especially just to look at it, but I had some questions about that bill.
Could you not have handled it on the phone or by fax?
It would have been difficult because some of the things, trying to get three people together to do that, as you know, for meetings, for committee meetings, is difficult. I knew we were all going to be here for this meeting, and I just got it, I guess, about 5 days ago, so I thought it would be easier to do it this way.
I think in the future we ought to try to get all of the issues and questions done before the meeting. First of all, that puts payment of a bill off by another month, which is kind of pushing it. And I'll be more than glad. I use something called freeconference.com. You can call in, set it up, and everybody can get on the phone. And I don't think, unless your committee objects, I don't think you need the entire committee to have the initial discussion.
No, we don't, but I always like that if you're going to have a committee look at things, I really would appreciate the advice of all three members. I just didn't think about the fact that we don't have a meeting for a little over a month because of Borough Hall being closed for a while. And that wasn't a consideration when I thought it would have been easier just to have it while we were all here and review it together. So if Mr. Shackley doesn't have objections to that.
Well, I'm just thinking we're likely to have a closed session after this. So we're pretty late, but it's up to you folks.
We could do it later or whatever.
We just have a few concerns that we wanted to go over.
That way it wouldn't hold them up, too.
Okay. I have a couple of questions, but I'll start with anybody else.
Yeah. I have something else on the bills list.
Mm-hmm.
So Resolution 17-78, which we adopted last meeting on May 22nd, set a cap for $500 for the outdoor concert. But on the bills list, we have the pizza reimbursement of $170, Mike Brody concert performance $400, and Danny Adlerman $300. So that comes over the $500 that was authorized through the resolution 17-78.
We also have 4th of July. There was an appropriation for $1,000. To date, we have $1,325.
No, that was raised to $1,500. We raised that this year to $1,500.
Who's we?
Finance Committee, along with George.
Right, so it was not appropriated or authorized. The Finance Committee doesn't raise appropriations. The council does that.
Well,
so
when we did the budget, we allocated $1,500.
We haven't approved the budget.
The budget has been introduced tonight, no, but we allocated $1,500.
But we did pass a resolution on May 22nd that set $1,000 as the reimbursement for recreational activity for July 4th. It's resolution 17-74. So I think those would have to be amended.
Well, that puts us in a little bit of a conundrum, since Ms. Malkin and Mr. Hamilton have taken the position that we can't do that if funds were expended without appropriation or authorization. And I believe that at least, I believe it's Ms. Parrott who believes that we should bring criminal charges against anybody who does that. So now we're being asked to do exactly what we've been told.
I don't think there's any conundrum at all
yeah.
with this. We have the chief financial officer here.
George, what what suggestion would you have that we how we should best handle this?
Well, we have $1,500 in the budget, and I'm not sure what the expenses are, but I think if they're valid, I don't know that you would want to punish the people who either provided services or look for reimbursement.
Should we perhaps pay part of it now?
You could do another resolution amending that if you want to
change that later
up to $1,500
after the budget is adopted.
The proposed budget has $1,500 line, and I think the emergency temporary might be bringing that up to $1,500 tonight. So, the funds would be there. It's up to council. Yeah, if they want to change that authorization from $1,000 to a cap of $1,500.
So technically, there are appropriations because we're in a temporary budget situation. And
no, there are. No, they're not appropriations.
I was
there
just
are.
Asking the chief financial officer about it. I'm sorry.
I believe the temporary budget, I think tonight's is adding money to that line, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Is that tonight? So, I mean, it's right there right now, but it would be once the resolution for temporary budget would be adopted. So that's up to council.
And when I said I don't think there's any dispute here, if there's no money, if it's not appropriate, you don't pay it, period.
Yeah.
That's
okay,
all
so
there is. It doesn't matter what it is.
So if there,
or a pizza.
So if there is money, we can pay it.
I mean,
great. Okay. Then do we want to approve this?
I'm saying, as a matter of proper procedure.
Well,
we wait until we've approved the temporary budget, and then unless we have that.
Yeah, I would think so.
If he'll certify that the funds are available.
Right.
Yeah. Tonight's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think. You would want to approve the resolution for the temporary emergency appropriation, that's the title they use, which is basically adding to the temporary budget. And then after that, you could, entertain a resolution to change that $1,000 to $1,500.
Right. Okay, so that would be 1783, which we just passed.
Why don't
we passed.
Yeah.
I was going to say, or we could just reverse the order.
But we did pass the emergency temporary. Already, it's 1783,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So we reverse the order.
This is from from the June 12th one. I'm sorry.
Right.
This is tonight. So we haven't done this yet. So you want to do this.
So given that there are funds available, would you certify as to the $1,325 and the $870?
Once the resolution 1783 would be adopted.
Well, 1783 was adopted.
Right.
Okay, then the funds are there.
Okay.
Right.
And based on that
now,
certification, which
because
you
can. Because there's 870 for the.
No, but the 1500 is just for July 4th. That's strictly the July 4th.
We're just talking about July 4th.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten back to the music night.
Okay.
I think part of the problem is the recreation director and other employees of ours need to know and have it very, very clear to them what their max is and that they can't spend more than that because that's all that's appropriated. And I hope that Eric in the future knows that and that we don't get into this sort of situation again. And that's the same for any of our employees who are going to spend money.
Well, I spoke to Eric, and he said that he's actually spent very little money over the last few years for recreation, and so he felt comfortable with music night.
How many people attended
that? I'm
sorry,
do you want me to repeat that? I said that I spoke to the recreation director, Eric Schubiger, and he reiterated that recreation has actually spent very little money in the first few years, the last few years, and so that's why he felt comfortable spending this money for music night.
Are you saying that you didn't approve any of this?
It wasn't one, it was not brought to my attention, it was not brought to me beforehand. I'm the liaison, I'm not the recreation director, I'm the liaison between the council and the recreation department, so he doesn't really have to ask me for approval. That's why he's the recreation director.
In view of the fact that George is willing to, Mr. Lang, our CFO, is willing to certify as to Resolution 17-74, 4th of July, as funds are available, I'd like a vote on 17-74.
84. 17.
You're talking about payment of bills?
I'm talking about, I'm sorry.
We move payment
and
of bills.
Why do we have it on 17-74?
Well, 1784 is payment of bills. So 1774, is that a PO number?
No, it says resolution. Okay. So let me make this easy. Approve payment of $625 for party rentals, $400 for magic show, $300 for pole tent rental, for a total of $1,325 for 4th of July. Do I have that motion?
Could you reread it again? Sorry.
Sure. I'd like a motion to approve the payment of $625 for payment rentals, $400 for a magic show, $300 for pole tent rental, for a total of $1,325. Anybody want to move it? Going once, going
twice. Is it customary to have entertainment at the 4th of July?
Yes, we have it every year.
What did we have last year?
We have bouncy houses. We had a dunk tank.
But that's not entertainment.
That's entertainment. That's considered
okay.
It's not necessarily.
I'm sorry, I meant an entertainer.
No, it's entertainment.
Yeah, wasn't there a clown or a juggler?
Yeah,
or
a magician,
too?
Whatever.
Yeah.
He is the guy on stilts.
Okay, I'll make that.
There were ponies last year. Second.
I made the motion.
Okay, thank you.
Second.
Okay, could you please call the roll on
please.
Approval of 6 1/4, 400, 300?
Ms. Bona?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapodi?
Abstain.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Mr. Tickton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
And we'll come back to music night. I have an interim question. I have a check here for $500 for the Borough Bulletin. None of us remember approving that. Anybody know where that came from?
Yeah, that was from the grant, Clean Communities grant, because they qualified for Clean Communities grant money, as did the public school.
Oh, for the pickup?
Yeah,
yes, okay.
The pickup. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
we still have the music night issue. We have an authorization of 500. We have a total of 870. We can pay 400. We can pay 470. It breaks out to 400, 300, and 170. So we can play performance in pizza or one performance under 500. Does anybody want to make a suggestion?
Or can we amend it to pay the entire... We have very few recreational activities in town, especially for the younger people. There was a turnout of between 100 and 110 people. That equals about $8 a person, less than $8. The people enjoy these music nights very much. We get a good turnout. We get good feedback. We don't offer a lot of activities, social activities in town, particularly for the younger people. We've done this before. It's always a big success. And I don't think we spend many, many, many thousands of dollars in town for necessities. This is something social and pleasurable for a lot of people. People walk by with their dogs, with their kids, stop and listen, eat pizza. And as I said, it works out to about $8 a person. We only do it once or twice a year.
But we had a cap.
I think we're missing the point.
Why was the cap?
It has nothing
exceeded?
To do with whether
well,
or not this is a good celebration.
Just so that we can pay the entire.
Well, why do we
bill?
Do that for some bills and not others?
Like what?
I'm done.
Like which bills?
Like you know which bills, Mike.
Well,
engineering bills. It's exactly the same issue.
The $100,000 in engineering bills?
$104,000. It's exactly the same issue. There was no appropriation. Was authorized.
I'm not saying it's not.
Well, so are we bringing lawsuits against everybody in town now who spends more than they're supposed to, or what?
Could we not make this personal?
I think we're talking about...
This is not personal.
Business?
This is the process, as Mr. Hamilton says.
You pointed out Maureen Parrott in your opening speech. Oh, that's personal. Now we're attacking who believes in what. Can't we just... I'm not attacking. There's nothing personal about this.
There have been two allegations raised, one by you and Mr. Hamilton, one by Ms. Parrott. One says that we should make no payments under these circumstances, and the other says that if anybody authorized
but
under these circumstances...
But as a point of order, we're not discussing engineering bills. We're in the payment of bills, and we're discussing whether or not to pay for a music night that's already been...
That's already been spent, correct.
It's already been spent, and if there's not appropriations, you don't pay it. If there is, we have an obligation to pay it. Are there appropriations? If there is, we should pay it. It's a very simple
We didn't vote an appropriation for it. That's the point.
Then you can't pay it.
Okay. Then do you want to pay the $400 for one performance or $470 for one performance and a pizza?
Don't ask me. I don't know.
George, does the temporary appropriations deal with this issue at all?
Well, this is coming out of the recreation line,
yeah.
I believe. So, I mean, there's always adequate funds there. So I don't think there's – I mean, there's not – an issue of funds being available.
Yeah, well, that's why I think Eric felt comfortable doing that.
Yeah, we usually don't spend the full budget there.
Okay. So as long as we're in agreement that when there's available funds, it's not a problem paying it, I suggest that we amend and we specifically authorize, based on the verbal certification of the availability of funds, payment of $400 for a performance, $300 for a performance, and $170 for pizza, coming up to a total of $870. Can I get a motion on that?
Okay, so moved. Okay,
is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Can we go through the roll, please?
Ms. Bona?
Abstain.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Yes. Abstain.
Mr. Tickton? I'm sorry, Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Mr. Tickton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell.
Yes.
Okay, we now move to, oh, I'm sorry. Absent the bills that we just approved, can I get a motion to approve Resolution 17-84, payment of bills?
So moved.
We have
second.
I'm sorry, who's
second?
So this would be 17-84 as adjusted.
Okay, so Mr. Chair, I'll move to Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
We now move to other resolutions. Resolution 17-85, resolution to deny request for waiver of water sewer overage charges in the amount of $72 for 7 School Lane. Do I have somebody to make that motion for discussion?
I move for discussion.
Second.
Okay. Discussion at the table.
May I?
Sure.
That was the one from Mr. Cragen, I believe, about overage $72 on his water meter. Mr. Cragen stopped over and asked me to visit Toby at the sewer plant with him after the last meeting. I went over. After much discussion, Mr. Cragen and Toby, Toby said that the meter was tampered with. Mr. Cragen said he did not do it. I know my meter got switched out a couple of years ago, and there's the revolving thing about redoing the meters. Apparently some of them do go bad. I say for $72 that we should allow the request for the waiver so that Mr. Cragen does not have to pay it.
I would like to make a couple of points. One, I too spoke to Toby, who said that the conversation described in detail by Mr. Cragen never occurred, that he got a call from Mr. Cragen at 7 o'clock in the evening while he was at church preaching, and he said, I cannot discuss this with you. Everything I have to say, I have already said. He further said that the reason that there was a replacement, two things, is that there was a replacement on the line on the inside of the meter, in other words, on the homeowner's side of the meter, that the reason that it had to be immediately replaced was that because it had been cracked, and indeed it had been cracked from multiple turn-off and turn-on, it had been cracked on that side of the meter, and what happened was that every time as water came through, it created a vacuum. So what it was doing was filling the pit with muddy water, and every time the water was turned on in the house, it would draw in muddy, we'll call it infected water, and that constitutes an emergency. Under our ordinances, those expenses which are on our side of the meter and to the meter are ours, and those which are on the house side of the meter and up to the house belong to the homeowner. There was a strong push not only to deny the $72, but to pass on the cost on the far side of the meter of $900 to the homeowner, which is our standard practice. I think in light of that dispute, I think that this, we'll call it middle ground, because I can't think of the word, is appropriate. It's 72 against 900. This is not the public portion, I'm sorry.
Could we have something in writing from Toby? No, well, I've never seen anything. Now, there's a lot of hearsay about this, so if I could see something from Toby that I can read myself concerning this, I think that would help make a decision.
1 second, it'll be handed to you.
For it. Here we go.
And when is this from?
The date on the email is May 18th, 2017.
Can we read it out loud?
Do you want me to read it, or do you want to?
Well, no, I think we all should. Oh,
you,
no.
Well, I just thought it might be private, but if I want to know.
So it's a series of emails. I'll begin with I wrote to Toby and said I need to have a short description of the issue with the water meter at 7 School Lane. I misspelled it, land. Sorry. Please review the facts outlined below, and if they are correct, just reply to the email. I want something in writing for the file. The meter at 7 School Lane had to be changed to a new smart meter because the old meter was completely corroded due to the flooding in the meter pit. George Vasseur reported he had been asked to come to 7 School Lane every year to shut off the water at the meter while the occupants went away for the winter. Then George would turn it back on when they returned. The building owner would drain the water from the pipes and shut off his heat while he was away. One year, the owner stopped calling George, and George discovered the owner had obtained his own wrench to turn off the water. Several things contributed to stripping the threads on the pipe. One is the repeated water turnoff. Another is perhaps turning the wrench a little too hard with the aging infrastructure in the ground. And the third is the draining of the water from the house into the meter pit. The old water meters were not designed to be submersible. The water was drained from the house into the pit by the homeowner and sat there all winter. This corroded the meter. K2K was engaged to dig up the old meter because there was leakage. That's the issue that Jeff talked about, where the muddy water from the pit was being sucked into the house, and that could be a health hazard, obviously. A new meter has been installed. The homeowner was shown that the new meter turns when he is using water in his house and does not turn when the water is shut off, so he knows that the new meter is in working order. These new meters are designed to be submersible in water, so it should not be damaged by water in the pit. The homeowner is now requesting that he not be required to pay the overage charges for the water usage as measured on the old meter. However, replacement of that meter was extremely costly because of the need to dig up the pit. Additionally, the meter replacement was necessary in part because of the manipulation of the water valve by the homeowner instead of contacting the water sewer department. Draining the water from the household into the pit and submerging the meter caused corrosion, which led to its inoperability. Toby confirms that is the whole story. It is accurate.
I have one question. Was the meter functioning properly when as I understand it, if we're using the same meters that we've been using, there's a mechanical reading and also the digital one that's electronically transmitted. Was the meter functioning? And if it wasn't, all of those other issues are separate. Was he overcharged because the meter wasn't functioning properly? If so, my contention is we need to pay the $72 and eat it because the meter wasn't functioning properly. And it's a separate contention altogether that the homeowner may have damaged or tampered with it and caused it to break, in which case I would say that the borough needs to take action if they feel that they have cause to do that.
I think
to me it seems more simple if you break it up into two parts.
But then perhaps I'm not explaining it correctly. So the I'm going to use the pretzel system. The water is coming in from the town here.
Mm-hmm.
It goes to the meter. It comes out of the meter towards the house. Right? I'm not being condescending. I'm just to explain it. Coming into the meter is fine. The meter is working fine. There's a break here,
mm-hmm.
Okay, or a break here, whatever, okay, on the homeowner's side.
Right.
That is what is causing extra gallonage to come through this meter because it's leaking in here, and if it just stayed in the pit, you would see it overflow, and that actually would have been better. But what's actually happening is whenever the water is used in the house, the pit gets drained. And the reason the pit's getting drained is because it's causing suction,
right,
and sucking all that stuff into the house. So the answer is, yeah, this is registering fine,
okay,
but it's got water pouring out on this side.
But the meter was working then, fine.
We had no complaints about the
Why did we replace
working.
It?
What's that?
Why was it replaced?
Well, because once you have to go down in here and deal with the fittings, and you got to dig because you have an emergency situation,
okay,
it's stupid not to replace. I'm sorry. It would be more expensive to come back later and replace the meter again. So, did we have a motion and a second? We did.
Yes.
Okay. Can I just get a vote and get on with it? the rest of our long list here.
So can I just say something about this resolution? This resolution is worded in the negative. It's to deny the request. So voting yes, you're denying the request.
Correct.
Okay, just want to make sure that everybody knows.
Correct.
Because it's in the negative, you know.
Well, otherwise, you'd have to say positively, yeah, whatever.
Right.
You call the roll, please.
Ms. Bona?
Aye to deny the request.
Point of order, please?
No. The audience does not make a point of order.
Mr. Hamilton?
No.
Ms. Lapode?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
No.
Mr. Tipton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
No.
I'm sorry.
No.
Great, I get
to
vote.
Right.
Okay, I vote aye. Can I get a motion on, so it passes. Can I get a motion on resolution 17-86, introduction of the 2017 municipal budget?
So moved.
So who moved it? I
think Mike Peter, but oh, give it to Peggy if she wants it.
Doesn't it. Matter.
It
doesn't matter.
Flip a coin.
I'll second it.
Okay. Do we have discussion at the table regarding the introduction of the 2017 municipal budget? There being none, can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tipton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Okay.
Do you want to just let them know when the public hearing is?
Yes, and I was trying to figure that out. Actually, the public hearing is 28 days from today, which
okay.
is...
You
don't
have it on there. In a minute. Where's your agenda? Right here.
Oh, right on the following table. Okay. Public hearing, the second reading of the budget and the public hearing on the budget will be held July 10th at 7 p.m. at the Roosevelt Borough Hall, 33 North Rochdale, Roosevelt, New Jersey. I assume since you're all here, you know where it is.
Can I ask, just for the public's sake, will copies of the budget be available between now and then in the borough offices for people who
yeah.
might want to take a look?
If you want a copy of the budget, you can pick it up at the borough hall anytime. We will also try to get it. I'm leaving on a plane quite shortly, but I will try to make sure it gets up on the website.
Yeah, soon as we get the signature set, it might take a day or two.
If it takes a day or two, it may take more than a day or two to get it up there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
We have a new bulletin board. We could put it up there.
It's going to pour tomorrow.
As long as everybody promises not to take it.
Not the full budget, though. Yeah. Not the 60-some page budget. Yeah.
Six penny nails. Second chance.
Talk to Joe about
yeah.
that.
Okay. Can I have a motion on resolution 17-87? Resolution authorizing effluent pump repair to Rapid Pump and Meter Service Company to perform pump repairs at the Roosevelt Sewage Treatment Plant.
So move.
Second.
Okay. I'll give the very short version of this, and I will ask Ms. Lapode if she wants to give a longer, more correct version. We've had a number of pumps failing at the sewer plant. I believe we have five. We're down to three working. If one more breaks, we have to declare an emergency. So we're sending this out for as quick a repair as possible. Did I get that correct?
Yep.
Okay.
So single pump?
Single pump.
Single pump. And then I guess it'll follow with another pump?
Yep.
Okay.
Good.
So we have three operating, one not operating, and one out for repair.
Okay. So that'll give us one on the shelf?
No.
If we get all five working, we only need four. And so there'll be one spare.
Excellent.
Actually, the way that Toby does it is he kind of rotates them in
yeah.
and out.
Yeah.
But that means we still have to send another one out for
yeah.
repair.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Absolutely.
So this is one of three.
This is one of two.
One of two that needs.
One
yeah,
of two
three
are bad.
Three are running.
Yeah. Two are
going to be repaired, of which this is one, and one will be on the shelf. One of those two will be on the shelf for a total of five. Any other questions or comments? Can I have a roll call, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Okay. Now we have. I guess we'll start with public hearing.
Oh, I see what happened. Yeah. We inserted that, and that didn't get moved up.
Yeah, got followed over.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, sorry about that.
It's all right. Yes. At least you should have known it. Okay. I guess we'll now open the public hearing on Ordinance 2017-004, an ordinance of the Borough of Roosevelt amending and supplementing Chapter 7, quote, Vehicles and Traffic, end quote, Section 7-10 regarding parking on Homestead Lane. This is the ordinance that prohibits parking in front of the synagogue from coming out of the, it's not exactly defined this way, but coming out of the front of the synagogue is a sidewalk. So from the center of that sidewalk, 50 feet in either direction on Homestead Lane to prevent what is considered a hazard to the people coming out from whatever number that is, the old Dolores Jason house.
I'd like to make a motion to open the public hearing on 17.
I don't think you.
004. Don't we need that?
Normally you have, you don't. So, I mean, some public bodies do that.
Yeah.
But usually what you do is you have a motion on the ordinance and then a second, and then you open the public hearing. Some public bodies do have a specific motion to open to the public hearing, but what you usually do is you've done here traditionally, you've had a motion on the ordinance and a second, and the public hearing is open.
Okay, I think traditionally we go back and forth, but I'm willing to do anything at this point. All right, so
can
I get
it.
A motion on 2017-004?
So moved.
So
For adoption.
Second.
Yes. Okay, now we're opening the public hearing. Anybody in the public have any questions, comments, concerns about Ordinance 2017-004? Yes, 7:42. Yes, Mr. Cragen. Please come to the microphone and announce your name.
7 School Lane. And what I'm saying at the moment.
Please face the audience.
No, sir. I can address anybody I feel to.
No, you cannot. And you cannot. Sir, you cannot. You can.
I'll turn to you in a moment. I'm not finished.
You can address the council. You cannot. Sir.
Listen to me well. Yes, Jeff.
Either address the chair and speak into the microphone.
I'm speaking right into the microphone.
Or sit down, please.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now, what is it you have to say, sir?
I believe that substantive facts have been broken. Have not been addressed regarding my water meter.
Okay.
There are errors both in what Jeff.
No, you cannot. That would be at the public portion, which is at the end. Right now, we're just talking about Ordinance 2017-004. There will
I thought
be
it was proper for me to speak now.
There will be a public
okay.
session. Yes.
Thank you.
Again, I was happy to address everybody about this
matter. But not in this meeting. Okay. Do we have any comments, questions, concerns regarding Ordinance 2017-004? Yes. Sure. What it does is it restricts. There used to be no parking signs in front of the synagogue. They've been gone for quite a while, and I don't remember what the exact sequence of events was, but we've had a number of complaints about cars parked directly in front of the shul and particularly facing the wrong way. And what happens is people across the street from the synagogue, it's accident prone. And so we introduced an ordinance that said from the center of the synagogue where that walkway comes out, 50 feet in either direction is a no parking zone, which is pretty much what it used to be. I think it was actually more years ago. Does that make sense?
I think it's important to add, though, that what makes the synagogue different than other properties where there may also be parking opposite driveways is that because it's a place of assembly, that it's necessary to have the assurance of a free space in case there are people in there and there's a need for emergency vehicles to come there that may be greater than possibly at a private house. I think that's the primary justification for the ordinance.
Thank you.
And on a question, when there is a shul happening there, are the participants allowed to park there?
When there is a service happening there, no, they are not.
Okay. Once there's a no parking sign, you can't park there, no matter what.
Okay. Great.
Any other questions, comments? Oh, I'm sorry. I guess we should have closed the public portion before I answered that, but apologies. Okay, let's close the public portion. And is there any additional comments at the table? There being none, may I please have a roll call on ordinance. Second reading and public hearing on 2017-004.
Ms. Bonner?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tickman?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Now, this goes to ordinance. An assignment judge next? Is that how that works?
Ordinance 2017-004 is hereby approved on second reading.
It goes to the municipal court who transmits it to the state, and the assignment judge is part of the process in approving it before it can be enforced.
So how long? I'm just curious how long that about?
I think it takes... couple of months.
I was just curious.
We now move to reports of committee chairs, starting with Mr. Hamilton, Public Works.
All right, I'm going to have a short report since we probably are going to have a long night with a closed portion.
I'm getting on a short one, actually.
That would be nice. We've gotten three quotes for roof repairs of Borough Hall. I requested, and the committee requested, some additional quotes just to see how the prices came in for full roof replacement of both sections of Borough Hall, including the area that's over the first aid squad bays. I've taken a look and started to review those quotes, but there's a lot of technical information about various materials and methods that are going to be used. So I recommend it be reviewed by Carmela Roberts just to make sure that we're doing it correctly. One of the full replacement prices came in around $33,000, but that's A through Z, including gutters and everything.
I hate to ask, when you say full replacement, are we talking about this, this, and this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, the whole thing. But anyhow, I'd like to have our engineers review of all the materials, methods, and that kind of thing, because I don't know a lot about roofing materials and glue and all these different things that they're going to do with it. I'm going to transmit those to Carmela and get her review of it. I also think that the Public Works should probably meet to discuss how we want to do this, but I think we ought to move fairly quickly because we are in rainy season. We have been in rainy season, it seems like, for a month and a half now, and that needs to get done. There's been several trees down around town. There was one that came down today, according to Kelly, on Eleanor, I think across from the Skies house there. We're lucky to have a really good tree service with Allen's. I know that Kelly called Allen's, and I'm sure they came out right away and took care of it. There were three trees down on the Woodland Trail, and I walked the Woodland Trail pretty regularly, and I always had to go around them, which isn't always an easy task. I think they were on Assinpink property, and I noticed a few days ago when I went again on the Woodland Trail that they were taken care of and taken care of quickly. I know that Aton contacted, was it Peter Winkler from Assinpink, and they came out and took care of those, I think all three trees, right? Yeah, so and they cut them up and they moved it. So anybody who wants to walk the Woodland Trail, it's very clear and really quite charming this time of the year. I encountered a rather large turtle that was on the decking, who did a very awkward backflip into the creek when he saw me coming. Today I saw a fox on the trail. So if anybody has chickens, I would make sure that they're secure.
Keep them off the trail.
Yeah, keep them off the trail. And a whole, I don't know what the proper term is for a whole group of turkeys, but they were in full array on Pine Drive.
Gaggle.
A flock. There's no specific term for that?
Well, when there are 20 of them in my backyard, I have several, but none of them appropriate for a council meeting.
But this was all about 6:30 in the morning, and it was like a mummer's parade down Pine Drive. I mean, they were in full array and walking.
I believe it's a gaggle.
I thought it was a geese.
How about a meso for the moment? We'll come back to it later.
But I felt like breaking into a chorus of "Oh, them golden slippers," because it was just like a mummer's parade. But the town is beautiful. I don't think it's ever looked better. But part of it is because it's summer, and but I think a lot of the areas are maintained very nice. I think the outfit that we have doing maintenance of public land seems to be doing a pretty good job. The pocket park looks really nice, and so everybody has been working over there. Nice job on that. So yeah, we have some work to do in looking at the roof repair, but I think that otherwise things look lovely this time of the year in town. I think we're doing a pretty good job.
On the roof repair, if I might ask, are there any of the bids talking about taking the columns out of the first aid squad area?
No.
I was actually going to suggest that if we're going to call the engineer, you've spoken a number of times about having the engineer come out and give an estimate on raising the roof, getting rid of the supports, putting in the ventilation system, and all the things that need to be done in there. Why not combine two birds with one stone?
Yeah.
Because I think we've discussed before, we certainly don't want to put on a new roof and then have to take it off if we can avoid it. So that it might be more efficient to either do it all at once or do that part later.
Yeah, we had discussed that. My only question is that should we contact the borough engineer about that or an architectural firm?
I would contact, the borough engineer has already done that study, and she brought out an architectural firm the first time she did it.
Right.
If we want to do it again, we could certainly use the documents she produced and the architect produced 2 years ago. But if we want to go through the process again, she has engineers on call, not on her staff. And I know the one that she had used worked with Honey and Bill years ago, so they're familiar with Roosevelt to some extent.
Would the RFP have to be redone, or request for bids? Would that have to be rewritten? Or
if we're getting a request for bids, but right now we're just having our engineer come in and look at it and give us a basic
I don't think you have a request
estimate.
Not at this point. Yeah. They're just quotes.
And it's not even quotes to do it. It's her estimate of what it's going to cost if we go out for bids.
Right, we're just ballparking it, looking at who's using what methods and that kind of thing. But that needs to be all spec'd out.
Also, you talked about the garden up on Spruce. For those of you who haven't noticed, take a look at the Monarch Garden. That's got little flowers, and we've got milkweed everywhere. So we're hoping for a huge something of monarch butterflies, whether it be a gaggle, a flock, whatever it might be.
Okay. And on that, I'll end my report.
Mr. Tickton, Community Development, Code Enforcement, Senior Rep.
Okay. One important thing that's happened is we have the new bulletin board. Thanks to main effort, Dave Curtis took the lead in doing this. The Fund for Roosevelt will be reimbursing him for the cost of his materials. He was assisted, I believe, Trammell was helping with it, and John Ord was helping,
and grandsons.
And who's your grandson?
No, John Ord's
grandson. John Ord's grandsons. That would be Ryan Fiegelbaum and Chris Bravo. They pulled out those big concrete bunker things, and apparently are going to help remove them from the lawn area there too. So,
Good.
Yeah.
Sharon's helping as well. Okay,
it's all her fault.
I want to help. Thank everybody who participated in getting this done. This is, the loss of the bulletin board was certainly a very great detriment to the community, and getting this straightened out and getting it corrected is very good benefit.
And I understand from Dave Curtis that there will be a roof, and we actually discussed it with your father, Bert, as an architect. So we
is there a roof on?
On the bulletin board?
Oh, like the original.
Right. And possibly a sign on the top that says Roosevelt or something. And I personally would like to do a "You Are Here" sort of a thing with Roosevelt here, the the Pacific Ocean over there, the Atlantic Ocean over there, you know, Freehold.
I think the New Yorkers already done that, but sure.
Yes. Okay. Roosevelt here.
I would point out, folks, this is fun, but if you look under new business, we had a lot of stuff to get through tonight. So if we could. A good move.
Okay.
Thanking everybody was appropriate, but I want to get everybody moving.
Yeah. The other thing was we had a really nice program at the school graduation on Saturday. We were honored to have Perrin Ireland, who's a great granddaughter of the Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt, was here for the occasion. She told me that she was really very overwhelmed by the devotion to her great grandparents that she saw here. You know, the statue and the fact that this was the last place that her great-grandmother made a public appearance and made a really great cheer. And she says she wants to come back and bring other members of her family back also.
Yeah, she
so
was very
it's good
gracious.
To know.
She
I'm
was,
sorry?
She was very gracious.
Very nice person, yeah. Very nice person. Yeah, okay, that's all.
Ms. Bona? Sorry, Bona. Administration, environmental rep. Administration and environmental.
Administration committee, the... job descriptions are still in the works. And Mike, Council Member Hamilton, I hope you don't mind if I just round out your Environmental Commission report a little bit.
No, please.
Thank you. So for forest management, the Environmental Commission has approved the Community Forest Management Plan, which is now on tonight's Borough Council agenda. Once approved, approved by the Borough Council, the plan will then be submitted to the New Jersey State Forestry Service for their approval. So that's moving right along. Very exciting. Stream monitoring, the training for stream monitoring volunteers has been scheduled for this Saturday, June 17th, which will also incorporate summertime monitoring of Empty Box Brook. And if I'm not mistaken, there are still spots available if anyone is interested in volunteering. Please get in touch with the Environmental Commission. The invasive species, on June 3rd, volunteers planted butterfly-friendly native species at the new Pocket Park on Spruce and Clarksburg. 300. I have to say we had a really good turnout. It did not seem like it was that much. As Dr. Lapote says often, many hands make light work. I hope to see more faces and at more volunteer events to help promote these sorts of things. For the trail, the maintenance of the wooden platforms on the trail is continuing, most recently on the Tamara Pine Drive section, where a new platform was added and several others repaired. For the July 4th celebration, the Environmental Commission will have a table and a game of chance. It will be free. No money will be exchanged. I think that makes it okay. Steve is making the wheel or has made the wheel, and we're going to figure out what to put on the different sections. And we will have environmental-related giveaways for the kids, little fun things that they can take with them. And last but not least, a member of the Environmental Commission cleared the dirt pile from the sidewalk over by First Aid, that big pile that was building up. And in case anyone's interested, it wasn't just dirt, as some of us had expected. The entire dirt pile was held together by many, many weeds. And also there was a big... removal of mugwort from the butterfly garden here in front of Borough Hall. There was a huge patch. It was all manually removed, so I expect it'll come back in no time. But as it was pointed out last year, it's, if the Environmental Commission and the invasive species are really trying to get the word out, really trying to work on these things, it doesn't look good to have a big pile of invasive species in the front of Borough Hall. So we took care of that as well as of other few weeds. And I'd just like to say that the borough staff is, as always, doing a bang-up job. All the work that has to be done with Public Works and the estimates and the shared services with Monmouth County and the smoke detectors and carbon dioxide detectors and shade...
Carbon monoxide, sorry. Right, there's no two there. Shade Tree Commission, everything, they're just doing a really great job, and I hope everyone appreciates how hard our borough staff really works. And that's all I have tonight, Mayor.
Thank you. Our deputy clerk, any report? Does our clerk have a report or anything she'd like to say? Counselor?
Nothing, Mayor.
Ms. Malkin, who is Finance and Planning Board Representative.
Well, Finance, obviously, we've been working on the budget, which was introduced tonight. As far as the Planning Board, at the last meeting, we discussed future projects for changes to the master plan. We talked about what issues we should review and what the priority is for all of the issues, you know, what we should discuss, you know, what should be a primary interest to us, all the way to, you know, back burner issues. I encourage anyone who's interested to come to the Planning Board meeting so we can have your input as to what you might feel is important for, you know, which direction the town is going in. Some of the things we discussed are storage. Storage is an ongoing issue in town because the vast majority of people in town do not have enough storage today as far as sheds and pods and things like that. We've also discussed aging in place, which is a new movement across the country. As many people either, as they're aging, they don't want to leave their houses, or children want their parents to come and live with them, but there are these new pods that are livable and tiny houses, so many towns are allowing, they're changing their zoning laws to allow these different modes of living to be in the backyard. And some towns are even, I think the government is giving out some credit to towns who have made some, you know, accommodations for seniors. So there's a lot of things to be talked about for the future, in the for the future of Roosevelt at the Planning Board, and that's what we've been doing. And 4th of July, as you know, we also welcome, if anyone, Mr. Connors, as long as you're here, we would like the first aid squad to have an ambulance, you know, for our parade. We're also asking Millstone if they would like to provide a fire engine so we can have, our usual parade. And again, anyone who would like to volunteer to help with July 4th would be greatly appreciated. And I'd just like to say one last thing. Since the election was touched upon in the beginning of this meeting, I would like to, notwithstanding whatever may be transpiring for the fall, but as of right now, I'd like to congratulate Joe Trumell and Maureen Parrott for winning the primary election. End of report.
I'll also congratulate then Mr. Archer for his nomination. You brought up storage, which reminded me.
His nomination for what?
He's running as a councilperson. Storage reminds me that the huge tent you see out there is still on auction. The auction ends the 19th, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's all on gov.bid or bid.gov. What's that?
Govdeals.com.
Govdeals.com. So if anybody wants a huge tent that they are not allowed to put up in Roosevelt, you are more than welcome to bid on it and move it somewhere else. 2 points. One, you must disassemble it yourself. And two, it took a front-end loader and a crew of, I think, six to put it up. So if you're planning on taking it, come with friends. Because that thing is, if you've never been inside of it, it's put together with a frame of steel tubing that's about that round, 2.5 inches or whatever. It's big.
You know the roundabout dimensions right offhand?
Like no.
15 feet wide? No.
15 by something, yeah. 15 by 40, 15 by 50, I don't know.
Yeah, I just thought I could.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
As long as an E1 fire truck, plus 5 feet, I think.
35, 40 feet.
Yeah, maybe a little longer. We now move to Councilperson Jill Lapote for utilities.
Okay. Continuing the tradition of reporting on the Environmental Commission, I'm going to report on it too. We have done the preliminary submission for Sustainable Jersey, and thanks to Eitan and Sharon for working on putting this all together. We're going for bronze. The sewage treatment plant has had a number of issues. Earlier today, we voted on the repair to one of the pumps since two of the five are out of service. We also have the replacement of the sodium hypochlorite tanks that's taking place. The tank stands are going to be ready in the next 2 weeks. The amount of sodium hypochlorite that has been on hand has been depleted. We may have to get one 55-gallon drum of it to hold us over until the installation of the new tanks can take place, rather than getting a whole 1,500-gallon delivery. So Toby's working on that. The valves that are at the base of the primary settling tanks are not holding, and so the sludge is going septic. The sludge is pumped from those tanks into the Imhoff tank. Usually, the sludge, when it is not going septic, just settles to the bottom of the Imhoff tank. The Imhoff tank has sloping sides, and the sludge accumulates in the bottom and is pumped out by Accurate Waste Services and taken to the Passaic Valley Sewerage Authority for treatment. But now that the sludge is going septic, it has been rising in the tank, and what it did was it clogged the overflow line. Usually in the Imhoff tank, there's a line that'll just take the supernatant off of that sludge, the watery stuff, and put it at the front of the plant so it'll go through the plant again. That line became clogged, and on Friday, the water was rising in that tank and up to where the walkway is for Toby's office. He was able to get the sludge guys to come out and pump that down, and the Route 24 to jet out the line that had become clogged with sludge, and it's now unclogged. But we still need to repair those valves. We've got one more problem, which is that the auger at the head of the plant, when the sewage runs in towards the plant, there's a large inclined screw. It's an auger that takes out all of the toilet paper and things like that. It had become clogged with those wipes. I keep telling you don't flush those wipes, but the wipes had clogged the system. The folks who were out looking at the valve unclogged the auger, except that the way the auger is constructed, it goes all the way up, and in the top, there's a part of the auger that's inaccessible. You have to take the motor off in order to unclog the wipes that are in that part. And so they were unable to do it. So the auger became, it sheared off some of the bolts, and it stopped, and the auger has been, I think tomorrow is going to be taken off site for repair, but to municipal maintenance. It's a poorly designed system. When that auger gets clogged, you can't clean it unless you remove the motor. It's interesting with the auger not working and going through the bar screens, you can see to the bottom of the sewage that's flowing into the plant, and it is clear. You can see all the way to the bottom because there's not much solids, because most of the water that's coming into the sewage treatment plant is groundwater. So lots of things that are happening at the sewage treatment plant. Toby said that he found there is, so one of the devices that you use for incoming flow to break up the toilet paper and stuff is something called a muffin monster. And he said that, in fact, he has found a wipe-ready muffin monster, a muffin monster that has better blades that might be able to break up these wipes. The wipes are the bane of every sewage treatment plant operator. You can go online and Google, you know, biodegradable wipes that aren't degradable, and you'll see that New York City sewage treatment plants everywhere, these are a problem. So maybe Muffin Monster has come up with a solution.
Jill,
we'll look into it.
Remember when we sent out notices to people?
Yes.
So wasn't there a decrease in wipes?
There was.
Maybe it's time to send another reminder.
Well, what's interesting is on every single bill, there is a reminder, don't flush flushable wipes. Every single bill. And people are still flushing them.
Big, you know.
Okay. I'm happy to send out whatever you think
in,
would.
In Boston, they have, instead of no parking, they have these signs that say, don't even think about parking here. Maybe they have, don't even think about flushing a wipe.
On every toilet in town.
If you have wording for me that you think would be catchy, I would be happy to do it. People generally, when they see me walking around town, say things like, I haven't flushed any wipes. and so I think I've scared them, but not nearly enough.
Jill, I wonder if there's a design issue.
No, they're called
wipes.
They're adult wipes. They're flushable wipes is what they're called. And they are not flushable. They'll go through your toilet, but they don't go through the sewage treatment plant.
We've had a lot of issues over the years with that, and some of them, I think, were design kind of issues as to the way it was set up and the way that the flow comes in there and the way it's processed. Does that need to be looked at again? I know Carmella had some engineering specs on it that she put out a while ago.
Yeah.
I know when we originally got the machine, it was grinding. There was metal-to-metal contact.
The auger is the wrong thing to use in our sewage treatment plant.
Yeah.
What Toby asked for was something called an automatic rake for the bar screen.
Yeah.
And all it is a rake that rakes the stuff up the bar screen. That's all he wanted. And instead, what the engineer designed and the town approved and is still paying for in some bond somewhere, is this auger system, which is terrible.
Yeah, it's been problematic for a while.
I was going to say that Toby was quite clear at the time. He was jumping up and down saying, I don't want it, I don't want it, I don't want it. Our engineer was the one who insisted that it go in, which is one of the reasons why when you ask, we've done engineers, because it has turned out to be a problem, and if it had not been over objections, I think we might have been a little more sanguine about the whole thing.
Would that be Carmella, the engineer that wanted that, or just on a question?
Yeah, so much for subtlety. Yes, that would be Carmella Roberts. Good. Also, I don't think under any circumstances I am going to Google Muffin Monster because Lord only knows what's going to show up on my screen.
I could put in a link for all of you.
No.
How about flush alert? No wipes, baby or adult. Because maybe when they'll first read it and think they're not supposed to flush at all and then go on from there.
Complete. Okay. Mr. Trammell, we are not going to stop the meeting at this point like we did in the last two. We're sorry for that, so we're going to continue on. Mr. Trammell is environmental health and safety.
Just quickly, nothing from environmental health and safety, but do want to thank Dave Curtis, John Ord, Sharon, everyone for helping put up that bullet board. Everybody that walks by there seems to smile and chat with each other, so it seems to be a very positive thing for the town. And thanks, everybody that was involved.
Thank you. Okay, we now have, does anybody want a report from a public borough official? No? Okay. We now move on to old business, of which there is none, and we move to new business. Budget 2017 letter from DCA. That was a letter that said, you're late, give us the budget now, or we'll fine you. Okay, so we got a budget, a letter from the Division of Consumer Affairs, which said...
Division of Local Government, Department of Community Affairs.
Department of Community Affairs, thank you, which said, in the short version, You may not think that we've noticed, but we've noticed that you didn't put in your budget in time, and we're going to start fining you. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but while some delay is understandable, the fact that your municipality has not introduced a budget within the time frame authorized by the division compromises the municipal's fiscal integrity. Accordingly, pursuant to blah, 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 dash 18, you are hereby directed to introduce your budget no later than June 30. So we made it. All other pertinent financial documents necessary for budget review and approval should also be approved by that date. If you fail to do so, we will fine you on a daily basis.
That is a letter that we receive every year almost. But George, can you reiterate why it would not have been a positive thing for us to introduce the budget too early?
Well, I'd really rather not get into that discussion because I have pointed out that all the towns around us got them in on time.
As long as you read the letter, at least I'd like
an excuse. Okay, go ahead.
Well, basically, we have a very small budget, and certain expenses could have a major impact. For example, we just received bills from the County Board of Elections for these two special elections. That wasn't thought of in the original budget, so we had to make changes and put that in. That was a substantial dollar amount for our budget. And if we had done the budget earlier, we would have had to do an emergency. And as we know, doing emergencies, you really don't want to do that. So I feel we're still within the time frame. The state doesn't really approve any budgets until July anyway, because they wait for the state budget to be approved. So. We just don't have a lot of room. I mean, if we were a large municipality and, some unexpected bills come in, it's not a problem. But we have such a small budget that, big bills are a problem. And we're right at our cap, and we don't have the room otherwise. So,
thank you. Yeah. We're moving on to the 5-year Community Forest Management Plan, the CFMP, to submit for approval by the New Jersey State Forest Service. Who put it on the agenda?
Oh,
Aton requested it. So Aton as a... Okay, we'll now move to report of borough officials. Aton, would you kindly, Mr. Grunwald, would you kindly explain to us our final approval here?
I had requested that the mayor and all the members of the borough council receive a copy of the entire 37-page community forest management plan, as well as the cheat sheet that I prepared, the brief summary. Did you all receive that? Okay, well, I had been planning to read into the record the entire 37 pages, but since it's a long night, I'll just answer any questions if anybody has any. The main thing to point out is that this is time sensitive and that we're requesting, this has been approved by the Environmental Commission, and we're requesting approval by the Borough Council so we can forward the plan to the New Jersey State Forest Service for their approval.
Would somebody like to make a motion to approve the 5-year Community Forest Management Plan for submission for approval by the New Jersey State Forest Service?
I want to make that
so
motion.
So moved.
Okay.
Joe first, and then Casey second.
Mm-hmm.
Second.
Okay.
So Joe second. Whatever.
All in favor, please say aye.
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 Anybody opposed? Any abstentions? Passes unanimously.
Okay,
thank
Mayor,
you.
I'm going to need your signature on two copies of that plan before you go tonight, if that's possible, since you're going out of town.
We'll talk.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
We have a letter regarding consulting engineering services for the water treatment plant for compliance with the Toxic Catastrophe Prevention Act. I don't know what it is, but I'll approve it.
Right. This is just for the council's information. R3M took a look at our chlorine storage. As you know, we were contacted for an inspection by the Toxic Catastrophe Prevention Act inspectors, and we were concerned as to whether or not we were below the 1,000-pound threshold for chlorine. The engineering firm found that we have two alternatives to ensure that we are in compliance with TCPA and remain in compliance with TCPA, which mainly means that we keep below that 1,000-pound threshold. If we continue the use of chlorine gas cylinders, we need to order less of them and make sure that we never have full complement of six of them on site at one time. So it turns out when they came out for the inspection that we had two cylinders that were empty. That meant we were below the threshold, so everything was fine. What Toby has done is he's contacted the vendor, and he had them take away the empty cylinders so that there is absolutely no question that we're below the threshold. They also gave us an alternative to switch to liquid sodium hypochlorite. And we could consider that, and it would decrease our risk of a chlorine gas breach. However, it's expensive to do so, and since we can remain in compliance without switching to liquid sodium hypochlorite, we can leave that as something we could do in the future.
Jill, if you used sodium hypo, wouldn't you need some sort of delivery system to pump it in on a regular basis?
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have a little pump that you would have, although it could possibly be gravity-fed, depending on where you put the tank and where it was introduced into the line. Okay. So, but that would all be engineer-designed before you would switch over. I guess the main thing that they realized is that we do have room in the chemical storage room, and we could switch to the liquid. But it would, I mean, it has to, everything has to change instead of having the gas.
Yeah. I'm gonna take the blame for this because I was doing a lot of stuff over the last weekend and today. But this stuff should probably be in our reports rather than under new business.
Sure.
So let's try to, we'll just push them into the reports. Because we don't sort of pick and choose. Again, my fault. But okay, so we got grants from DOT for Homestead and Cedar. Okay, please to inform us $210,000 in grants. We got a quote from Monmouth County Department of Public Works and Engineering for street sweeping. It was $1,564.50 would be the cost of the county to come and sweep our streets once. If we want them to do that, I've asked, I guess, Public Works to do a resolution for the next meeting for us to vote on.
I have a question about it, if I might. Just a quick question. Would we have to do get into the curbs and clean out all that debris that's, you know, between the street and the curb that's built up, the sand and the silt and all of that? Will we have to do that prior to getting the streets clean?
They do that with the stuff that they did last time when I came up.
They do?
The whole thing is
they do.
Yeah, I think that's where they got these giant brushes that go in, like the thingy polished floors.
Yeah, that's great.
And Jeff, I think I saw them do 571 about 2-3 weeks ago.
I saw that.
Yeah. So that's the county's responsibility. They'll do that once a year or so, and we have...
Well, 571 is their responsibility because it's a county road, but not the... Yeah. We have to pay them to do inside the town.
So they did do 571 not too long ago, but we are responsible for in-town here. Right. Okay.
Yeah. But under the shared service, we went... our director of public works and OEM, et cetera, went to the shared service summit, and that was one of the services they would provide at a price... That's a really good one to do with the county, in my opinion, because one, we're never going to want to buy a street sweeper. Two, it doesn't have to be done that often. Three, if it's this week versus next week, it doesn't make that much difference. Snow plowing is a little more difficult because, you know, where are we in the priority and how fast can they get here? And it all might be fine, but, you know, those are concerns that we don't have with something. This is something that's simple. We don't even have to deal with those concerns. So it's a good... assuming the price is acceptable,
how many times do these people one time?
So if that could be coordinated when they do the county road, they would do ours also. Or
well, they've already done the county road,
yeah,
so
I see that.
No, they're not gonna. They're not gonna give us a discount for when they're by here anyway.
Okay.
It would be sensible, but they're not.
But next go round would be like a nice coordination then. For the next go round, if we approve this, yeah.
Well, I think what we would do is we would say yes, we want the service, and yes, we want it soon while it's still summer.
Yeah.
I don't think we care whether they're doing it at the same time as 571, and if we had to wait for that, I don't know how often they do 571.
And I'm not sure they'd give us a discount anyway. It sounds
like
$1,600 is the price if they come now or they come in.
Yeah, for them it might be easier to do it all at once. That's all I'm saying.
I agree. My concern is they did it 2 weeks ago, which I didn't know. So if they do it once a year, we'd have to wait till next year. So we want them to do it.
This year would be good.
Okay.
So we'll need a resolution for that then, right? For the next meeting, yeah. Could you do that?
Then we have, we discussed the three quotes. We have a request to use the Borough Hall. I have to say that I have exactly the same objection as I had last time. It wasn't, the last time it was very specific about what the purpose was. We declined it, and so we simply got another request that simply omitted what it was for. I don't think we can rely on that, and I'm concerned about participating in that. But that would be...
Jeff, speak up.
We have a request to use the Borough Hall. It is from the same group that previously requested to use the Borough Hall. We declined their request. They have then come back and made another request, which is pretty much the same thing, but it omits what they're doing, which is what we objected to. So I'm suggesting that we, my personal opinion would be that we not approve it, but that would be a council vote. So normally we vote on this. So we have a request to use the Borough Hall.
What was the purpose?
The purpose was to make a video for or otherwise...
Some kind of charity.
Yeah, provide services for a charity, which charity has been which is subject to an attorney general's order to cease and desist. So the motion would be. You can either make a motion to decline the use of the Borough Hall as specified, or make a motion to approve it and then turn it down, or do whatever you want to do. So, does somebody want to make a motion?
Can we? I mean, I'd like to see what you're talking about, the Attorney General's.
I believe I brought it last time. I didn't bring it this time.
No, I don't think you did.
Okay, you can look it
New
up.
New Jersey or United States?
New Jersey. Oh, you can take my word for it, or we can put this off for another month.
I'd like to move to table it that people be notified if they wish to submit information as to the purpose of the meeting that we would...
But the request is for dates which are prior to our next meeting.
July 1st.
So you either have to approve it or decline it.
Well, there's one for July 15th. So we could ask for them to provide a reason, and in the meantime, we could also read what the Attorney General has to say.
Yeah.
It's very rare that we deny someone use of the Borough
it's
Hall.
It's very rare.
So that's
it's also very rare that the Attorney General brings an action against a charity for fraud, suspends them from being in any way involved in any charity for 3 years, fines them $10,000, and then waives it and says, because you can't afford to pay. Provided that you in no way in the next 3 years get involved in any type of charity, particularly this one. I'm really trying to avoid going into the specifics because I don't see any reason to have to air all of this in public if not necessary.
So can you send us a link to the Attorney General's statement or determination?
Sure. You can look it up, but I'll see if I can find it.
Okay.
As I said, I'm leaving on a jet plane very shortly, so I don't have a lot of time, but if you just type in the name of that charity and New Jersey Attorney General, you'll get the orders.
Let us know what the name of the charity is?
Yeah, it was in the last one, the last request they made. What is the... Do we have that letter?
I have to go back.
Okay, we'll have to pull it.
Okay.
So do you want to table it until the 12th, and then we can either deny them?
Motion to table, sir.
I'll second.
I'm ready to vote.
Okay, so guys, you're gonna table a motion. There's a request to use it on the 1st of July and on the 8th of July.
No,
you're
going to
table it
to
the
15th.
First or the 8th
or the
15th.
Okay. And what is the purpose of tabling it?
So that we can ask them to provide their reason. And we can look up the Attorney General's.
Go to town.
More
okay.
Information.
Okay.
Information as to the reason for the request. People always say it's a birthday party or whatever.
Right, wedding, shower.
They always
shower.
Tell us what they're doing.
They told us exactly what they were doing. They were making a movie in furtherance of this charity.
That was the last time. Now there's a new request. They haven't told us on the new request. It may very well be the same thing. You know? Nonetheless, technically, they haven't told us.
And if we allow it and they do exactly what it is that the Attorney General has told them not to do, what is our action at that point?
I just would like to see what the Attorney General says.
I got that.
Well,
I got it. You don't believe what I'm saying. I got it. But, you know, that's your usual.
I would
so
just like to view it myself. I did not say I didn't believe
view
you.
View it yourself. It's fine.
We,
I'm just
we have a motion
about
and a second and a table.
I'm asking
right?
For the purpose of
table.
Motion to table. It's undebatable. It's a motion to table. That's
it.
Mm-hmm.
It's
there's
no debate on
the
motion
to
table.
Okay.
Table is undebatable.
Do we have a second on the motion to table?
I second it.
He seconded it.
Yeah.
Let's vote.
Ms. Bona?
No.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Lapode?
Yes.
Ms. Malkin?
Yes.
Mr. Ticton?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay. It is tabled. Okay. We now come to, collectively known as, public comment. Is there anybody in the audience who has anything that they would like to say in public comment in view of the fact, a note, 8:32, we will be going into closed session after this, so we're going to try to keep this to the 5-minute limit this evening. Right? We have two, but he was at before, so I'm going to go ahead, Mr. Gregan. Please address the chair.
Okay.
Thank you.
Robert Cragen, 7 School Lane. I'm addressing the chair, but actually through the chair, I'm addressing the whole town.
Okay.
What we're looking at here is a matter of truth, justice, and the American way versus its alternatives. This may sound a little bit profound or a little bit overreaching in terms of claims, when the facts are on the table, I think everybody will understand what I'm talking about. The profound disappointment that I have in Jeff Ellentuck as our mayor and the people who vote with him in lockstep is beyond belief. It's based on facts of unconscionable actions that when they come out in mass will reveal to the town why we have cause to be ashamed of the current administration that we have. In point of fact, if I may say, that the, and I'm glad people are listening, I'm again addressing the chair, the water bill is a perfect example of this. There were many statements made by Jill Lapode, by Toby, by the mayor, that are just totally incomprehensible to me in terms of what I know to be truth and the facts as I know them. These facts need to be presented counter, and under oath. Toby and the company that actually did the work need to be able to depose themselves and declare legally what actually happened in this occurrence. This matters to the town because there's a saying that there but for fortune go I, or don't ask for whom the bell tolls. The fact that I'm dinged for an overage on my meter, when in fact I sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, believe I did no wrong, I did no cause to make the meter read badly or have a leak of the system. And the fact is that I've been told that all our meters are 14 years old since they were put in. I'm told that they have an active life of 10 years and are only guaranteed for 10 years, which means that all of our meters in town are out of warranty. By point of fact, is that true, Jill, or not?
Please address the chair.
The chair, is that true or not, Jill?
Please continue your statement.
Okay.
This is the public portion. You can say
sure.
what you want.
It needs to be, maybe I was informed incorrectly, but what I'm suggesting is that if this is in fact the case, then we need to look at why we have a out-of-date water system that could have caused, a water billing system, that could have caused errors in many people's waters who paid the bills because they thought that they had to. They didn't want to take the time to fight them as I have. What is rather profound and to me rather a serious issue is that I suspect that many of the overages that we've had in the town have gone unnoticed and unprotested because of the fact that people don't know that the water meters are old, that they're being replaced, or that they could protest these meters. I've talked to one neighbor. He said, oh, yes, I had a high reading, but I didn't protest because I didn't want to be bothered. And I'm sure this has happened to many people. I talked to another neighbor who said, oh, yes, I had a high meter reading when my daughter went away to college. The meter reading went up, and I went to Toby, and I told Toby that the meter was bad. And Toby replaced the meter, and I wasn't charged for the overage.
This is your one-minute warning?
Pardon me?
Your one-minute warning.
I would ask counsel, is there actually a factual law that prevents me from talking longer?
There's a five-minute rule.
According
you're
to who?
48 seconds, I would suggest
according
that you
to who
up.
And where?
Where's
the rule stated?
A five-minute. Sir, do you want to complete your presentation or not?
Well, sure, I can do this in writing to the town, which I will. The okay. point is that I don't need to speak for more than 5 minutes now, but my first question would be to you, and I would ask you to ask counsel, where is it stated that there's only a five-minute rule for the public portion of the meeting?
Don't we have an ordinance
council
to
is,
that?
Yes, we have an ordinance on.
We do?
There's an ordinance?
Yeah,
yes,
we passed
we do.
Our
what
resolution.
Ordinance?
There's a written ordinance.
What ordinance?
Like
did
I have
resolution.
All the numbers memorized.
Sorry.
We
okay.
did a resolution.
Sorry,
we're
resolution.
In the, we're in the public portion, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to cut it short here. The point I'm making is that there's a tip of the iceberg here in my $79 or what it is for my water bill. If I have to pay that, I pay it. It's not a big deal. But I'm going to protest that.
Thank you. You have protested it. The council has considered
it. 30 seconds?
No, you've got over your 5 minutes. I'm going to ask if there's anybody else in the audience who... Thank you. Okay. Is there anybody else in the audience who wishes to speak? Uchep?
Judge Sean, 18 Tomorrow Drive. Very quickly, last year I pointed out, and I want to point out again, a simple thing, which is that there needs to be more mowing in the curve of the road in front of what was the Mueller House. There has been an accident there because the visibility is poor. And somehow or other in the job description for that service, it isn't included. And it needs to be. You don't need me to say this every year.
No, I think it's in the. We had actually.
Yeah, I know. I thought there was.
Yeah, no. We'd also had a conversation about Allen Street service because there's a series. If you notice, in front of where my father's house is, they clean out all the bushes and the woods so that you could see. They're supposed to be doing that all over town. I think they're doing tomorrow next. But we sort of schedule it so we don't pay them all at once to do the whole thing at once. But the one by the Muellers, it's yeah, I would say it's not trees, it's bush, right?
Yeah,
this is by the triangle, by the factory.
Yeah, yeah. But on the
yeah, is that in the contract?
If you're coming up Homestead, it's on the left side.
Yeah.
Is it in the specs?
Maybe they just need to be.
Okay, well, it's fine.
I thought it was in the specs.
Because okay. I mean, they're otherwise doing a good job, so I'm surprised. I think they. By the way, there were Kelly took them out. There were spots that we noticed that were missed, and I think they were unclear about some of them. But you did show them that one.
One of them, yes.
Okay, so let's take them out again and find out why why it got skipped. They may be scheduling it. They shouldn't do that. They should wipe it down once and then, you know, schedule the redoing. Ms. Parrott?
Maureen Parrott, 2 Tamara Drive. Is there going to be any vote taken tonight after the after the executive session on the $100,034 that's unpaid to R3M?
There may be.
It's not on the agenda, and I did send an email to the clerk today to ask. So I guess I would object to it. There's no public notice that that issue was being considered at all. And also, I did look in the ordinances. There is no five-minute rule, and it was not, in fact, adopted in January because I paid attention since I was cut off previously under that prior council's five-minute rule. So there isn't any. In any event, I'd like to speak about this $100,034 unpaid R3M expenditure from 2016. First of all, with respect to the executive session, this council did consider the payment of that money in public session because you in fact passed a bond on December, I think it was December 27th of 2016, which was designed to, in part, large part, to pay that bill. So that was precedent that it was an open public session issue, payment of it. And in my view, there's a difference between a substantive issue regarding a budgetary item, in particular an unappropriated expense, which is of great public interest, and I think is required by law to be in the public session, versus anticipated litigation, which is extremely narrow. It has to focus solely on the anticipated litigation, which in this case, if we haven't gotten a letter, in my view, I don't think there is any anticipated litigation in any event. So, but even if it were a proper subject of an executive session, that the Open Public Meetings Act doesn't require anticipated litigation to be discussed in closed session. It permits it. This council could decide to conduct the anticipated litigation portion in a public session because it is of great public interest. And in particular, we did have a referendum on the bond that was passed on December 27th, and it was voted down. Clearly, many people voted in that. I think 300 people voted. So that would be the point. I would urge you not to discuss that in executive session, but to do it on the regular agenda and to give notice to the public. I also like to stress that I have no threats to sue anyone. However, I think this council should be aware that any ratepayer would have standing to sue if this council were to pay that unappropriated $134,000 bill. And there are several grounds that those ratepayers could raise, such as statute, New Jersey statute annotated 48:4-57, which provides that I don't going to read the entire thing because it was already read by Ms. Malkin when she gave one of her Finance Committee reports, but it does say that it prohibits anyone from incurring any member of a body such as this body from incurring any liability which involves the expenditure of money for any purpose for which no appropriation is provided or in excess of the amount appropriated for such purpose. And then it says, any contract made in violation hereof shall be null and void, and no money shall be paid thereon. The New Jersey Supreme Court decided unequivocally in a case that I think is 100% on point, Bauer versus City of Newark, 7 New Jersey 426. And this is the good law in New Jersey. It was decided in 1951, but it has never been overturned, and it's been cited right up to the present time as the law, that is the leading case, and it is, we are bound to follow that case, which
ma'am,
says...
Ma'am, this would be your one-minute warning.
There's no five-minute...
There is a five-minute rule. The five-minute rule, you objected to it
for
in... Excuse me, you objected to it in January. At the January meeting, when you... Prior January, you objected to it. I said, let's have a vote on it. We had a vote. Yeah. We went five.
Well, I'll ask... So. I was here. It was no... There was no rule. If there's,
The chair is independently allowed to call a rule, number one. Number two, if things are getting repetitious, you can stop the conversation anyway.
Yes.
So I'm asking you,
okay.
Yes, it's repetitious.
Well, then I'll
We've
go
been through
on.
This
it's
before.
Not repetitious. I think you have, every one of you has a fiduciary duty, including our financial people, to the ratepayers, not to pay a bill that the law says is void as a matter of law, or there's an extremely strong argument that it is void as a matter of law. And I think that that fiduciary duty can be acted upon by the local finance board. I would also urge that any council member or member of this body or mayor who in fact was responsible for incurring this liability has a conflict of interest. And the law prohibits anyone with a conflict of interest from participating at all in any matter. The conflict of interest is that those people that incurred the liability have potential civil liability if R3M sues, can sue them, and or criminal liability, because there is a fourth degree statute that provides that is a potential criminal liability. So the interest there is let's pay it so that I won't have any personal liability on it. This is unlawful diversion of bond money. We already had a bond for this expenditure, and it was voted down. Now, if there's some kind of a claim or argument that some other bond covers this because the purpose of some other bond was broad, well, it might be broad, but the purpose didn't include this. We wouldn't have needed the bond that was defeated if it included this. It would have just been paid. And there's a New Jersey Supreme Court case, Middlesex Concrete Products and Excavating Corp. versus Burr Carteret, 28 New Jersey 208. This says it is a violation of the local bond law for the, I'm not going to go into detail because I will submit something in writing on this if you don't vote, but it unequivocally says that the council cannot improvise on compliance with the local bond law, which requires the purpose and the amount of each purpose specified, not just the purpose, but the estimated cost of such of each of those purposes. That's in the local bond law, 40A:2-12-12A1. And the New Jersey Supreme Court said that there's no such thing as improvising. A municipality might not improvise or suggest another scheme. You've got to follow the statutory procedure for bonds.
Okay, ma'am.
Formal action,
now,
repurposing
a bond.
You are
now 2 minutes over.
Requires four council votes.
Point of order, please. If the chair is going to rule that there's a five-minute rule, I'd like to see
where
the resolution is.
We're on 7 minutes.
Where is the resolution that there's a time limit?
We did it verbally. We can pull it out.
I'd like
Nobody
to
has objected to a five-minute until now, which I find
a
little interesting.
I'm asking for a point of order from the chair. It takes precedence. I'd like to see the five-minute rule.
What is the point of order?
You're saying that there's a there's a time limit here for public speakers.
There
this
is
a very
time
substantive
limit.
Issue and something that affects every ratepayer.
We have a member of the public making a statement. I will point out that I disagree with her very strongly, one, on the facts, and two, on the law. Nonetheless, I'm listening to what she said. We ran 2 minutes over. We have a closed session this evening, and I think we have both legal and financial advice. I think we need to do what we need to do.
But you evoked a five-minute rule that does not exist.
Okay.
And I believe the mayor's father spoke well over 5 minutes at several meetings, but that's neither here nor there.
So did you. So did she. Lots of people spoke over.
Not to mention the extra minutes you get by
writing
the speech.
We don't limit it unless there is a reason.
You, right?
Well,
that was an unnecessary comment and inappropriate.
Perhaps the reason is you don't want to hear what I'm saying.
I've heard what you're saying. Excuse me.
Which is contrary to the law, which is the reason for having public comment.
I know, but you keep reading us the same brief in the same cases. I don't. Excuse me.
Yes.
I'm going to have you ejected. Okay? And this had never done before, but this is ridiculous. Okay? Ms. Parrott is at the podium. We are speaking with her. She is speaking. Okay? Now, she is making points. We let her go over the time. We're having a discussion about whether or not that time limit is appropriate. Okay? Mr. Hamilton has every right to bring that up. Okay? Ms. Parrott has every right to object to it. You do not have a right to speak at this point. Please let her continue. Let us continue with what we're doing. Okay? Thank you.
I would also request that be done with every heckler. because it was not done in the past when people that support your the mayor heckled.
Nor was it done with people who don't.
Well, I'm just making that statement that, again, I think it's your five-minute invocation is substance-related because you don't like what I'm saying.
Ma'am, I disagree strongly with what you are saying, but I announced in the beginning, before you said that you wanted to speak, that we were going to have a five-minute rule tonight, especially in view of the fact that we have a closed session. We had a lot of things on the agenda. The closed session is going to go on for a long time. That was said well before you indicated you had any interest in speaking.
Can we ask Mr. our counselor, Mr. Shackley, what his comments on Maureen's indictments of a closed session?
Well, before we do that, okay, we're still in public session, public comment. Okay? Is there anybody else in the yes?
At Gary Shiner, 46 Lake Drive. Mayor, I'd like to ask you a question. How come you have a man say you're going to eject him from a meeting when one of your firemen stands up here and says, F everybody sitting up there, and you didn't say anything about ejecting anybody?
He walked
so
out.
So what is this, Jeff's rule?
He walked out.
He didn't walk out.
He did. He was screaming
then
he
came
that
back
curse
in.
Excuse me. He was screaming that curse as he walked out the door.
Uh-huh.
At which point there was no point in objecting.
But when you and I got to a discussion about it, mm-hmm. you tell me, oh, we can't throw nobody out. The state police won't do it. They say it's a public meeting. But now you're threatening to throw people out who haven't even used any profanity.
Because.
So do you think this is Jeffville or Jefftown?
No. I think that this is the First Amendment. The First Amendment gives you.
Yeah, you use that a lot. And the next one's going to be I'm a lawyer.
No, it's not. The First Amendment allows you to get up here and say whatever you want. If you want to curse at me, you can do that.
I've never cursed at anybody, and nobody in this building can say I have.
If somebody else wants to curse at me, they can do that. If they want to get up and say I'm a terrible person, they can do that. If they can say I've known you most of your life and all of a sudden you're a terrible person, they can do that. They can say they don't like what I do. That's fine. I don't stop them from doing that. One at a time at the podium. Yes, the firefighter should not have used that word. I agreed with you. I can't kick him out for
and
that.
And did absolutely nothing.
What's that?
And did absolutely nothing.
I'm not permitted to do anything.
Same way your staff talks to people.
Okay, let's not go there.
Oh, now we don't want to go there. All I'm saying is people have a right to talk. And it seems like if you don't like what the people have to say, you cut it off, which is wrong.
I'm sorry.
People have the right to their opinion, whether you like it or not.
Gary, when have I ever stopped anybody from giving their opinion in here?
You just told them they get 5 minutes.
Well, we're invoking a five-minute rule because the last time we did this with the closed session, we didn't get out of here until 10:30. Actually, people leave in the middle.
I watched with the fire company. Mm-hmm. Your father get up here for 10 minutes, sit back down, get back up for another 10. I didn't see the invoke rule then.
No, but in that same meeting, you also saw a lot of people who disagreed with him get up and talk for 10 minutes. We very rarely invoke the rule. And I started out by saying, look at this agenda. It goes on for a long time. We have a closed session tonight. We'd like to get through it.
So in other words, you're telling me that you invoke the rule when it benefits you.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah. Sharon, and then I believe it's Mary, and then Ms. Porter.
Sharon Walls, 23, North Valley. Those that know me know I don't often speak, but I was astonished to find several council members leaving this building the night before the referendum after the voting machines had been set up. Let me say this again. The night before the referendum, after the voting machines had been set up. In these times of international headlines about voter tampering, voting machine tampering, I'm astonished that people would put themselves in a position where they have clearly motive, and now they've had opportunity. So I would encourage you, as council people, to hold yourselves in the highest regard. Hold yourself above reproach. If you can't open your home when three people are meeting, you can come to my house. You can meet at my house, because it looks really, really bad when you're coming out of the borough hall when the voting machines are set up and you're unsupervised. It really pisses me off, people.
Thank you. Mary or Sissy, which one of you wants to go first? I figured you guys could work it out.
Elena Porter, 12 Farm Lane. I have a question for the entire council. I just want to know what the ham sandwich is going on in this town. I have never seen such division in this town. I've never seen it as bad. And I've been in and out of this town since 1968. This town had a unique character. Now all we have is unique characters. And I think it's time that people should stop and think. The council fighting with each other, the disrespect that I see on this council sometimes is disgusting. And we sit here and are supposed to listen to you, and you're supposed to be the governing body of this town. And all I see is division. What else do you think people are going to think? It's terrible. I think it's absolutely terrible. And that's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Mary Tellis, 21 Lake Drive. I have a sample resolution which I got from a chapter of the Brady Campaign, which is against gun violence, and they're asking that communities adopt this resolution, so I just kind of want to find out how I might get it working through the council. But it's basically the idea, a concealed carry reciprocity bill was introduced in the Senate and the House, and it lets people from states that allow concealed carry to come to any other state that might not allow it and have their guns concealed. So it would override things like in a school zone, you're not allowed to have guns. It would override, you know, a lot of our regulations. New Jersey is very strong in terms of gun control. So how would I proceed? Would I bring it to a committee?
Because give it to me. I will give it. I will ask that it be put on the agenda. Okay.
We do have a no discharge of firearms in this town. We still have that?
We have a no discharge of firearms in this town. However, if you're on state land, if you're on county land, the concealed carry issue, however, is a much stronger one. New Jersey has the strongest, I think, gun laws in the state with respect to our legislators and the country, sorry. With due respect to our legislators, some of them are a little ridiculous, but we have very, very strong laws. It is almost impossible to get a concealed carry permit in this state for a variety of reasons. Ex-officers accepted carry. But assuming that you are not or are not a police officer, you do not meet other certain qualifications, very, very difficult to get one, unless, of course, you're a legislator, because rules don't apply to them. In other states, it's very easy. And there are courses you can take, even in New Jersey, where they'll give you a concealed permit for Florida, which then allows reciprocity in, I think, 24 states. But it's worse than not just school zones. It means that anybody who comes in from Florida, North Carolina, wherever, can carry a concealed weapon, a concealed pistol in New Jersey, which is antithesis to pretty much everything we do.
Municipalities such as New York City make it extremely difficult to carry also.
Mm-hmm. Right, until the Heller case, which basically said, to carry, yes.
Concealed carry, sir, is what I'm talking about.
I just wasn't sure if everyone realized that we do have...
All of those would fall if this bill was passed.
Yeah.
In other words, you'd be able to drive through the city with using a concealed...
And then knowing them in New York State, New York City, I'll bet you they will come up with their own municipal laws discrediting that law. You
know? No, that's the problem.
That's the problem. The point is this would override all those laws.
But the issue here is that the people in control of the Congress now who are working hand in glove with the NRA, are trying to override all state legislation. by passing a federal law, which therefore which would therefore override any inconsistent statements.
So like the guys that drove through the Holland Tunnel with the truckload of arms and everything.
They what it reminds me of is that the people who historically advocate for states' rights.
I'm sorry. It's been pointed out that we are still in the public public portion.
Let's
ask if there are others. If there are others in the public who have any questions, comments. Being none, we'll close the public session. We're going to move into Can I get a motion for close?
We have a recess.
I'm sorry?
We have a short recess.
Sure. Can we get a motion for close first, and then we'll go into recess?
A motion to close.
Well, do we want to discuss the fact that this may be, it may apply that we don't have to discuss this in closed session?
We did that last time.
Well, it's a different closed session.
Right. It's the same discussion over and over again. So we had that discussion. We'll just have the vote.
We do need the resolution, too, though.
Yes. So I'm asking for a resolution, a motion to go to closed session, so we can read the resolution. Right? Or do you want to just approve this resolution?
I could read the resolution, then a motion could be made.
To approve it? Okay.
Whereas the Open Public Meetings Act permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings or portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed, which are exempted from the requirements of the Act, whereas the said Act requires that prior to the holding of a meeting or portion thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting providing for the holding of a private meeting, whereas the Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public body should be excluded in order to discuss a subject which is exempted under the Act. Now, therefore, it be resolved by the Borough Council as follows. The next portion of the meeting will be held in private session. The general nature of the matter to be discussed relate to anticipated litigation matters that regarding being the R3M engineering bills. And no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action on the subject matter has been taken. That after conclusion of the private portion of the meeting will resume in public session. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public when the need for confidentiality is passed and action can be taken.
And action can be taken thereafter.
Right.
Okay. Anybody want to move that motion? Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Can I get a vote, please?
I'd like to discuss this. If there is a discussion.
I've called for a vote.
But is there a discussion?
It's point of order. I've called for a vote. We vote.
But isn't there usually a discussion after?
There's usually a discussion on motion.
Does
there have to be a discussion on motion?
That's the procedure we always operate on. Yeah. Other than a motion to table where there's no discussion.
Just debatable motion.
There's usually a discussion on.
Okay. Let's go for it.
Why would you object to having a discussion?
No, just say go for it.
Okay. Yeah, I will. I've considered a bunch of the issues here regarding whether or not this should be a public discussion or a private discussion in closed session. And I'm of the opinion that I don't know of any litigation that's pending. I don't know of any contact that the engineering company that's in question, whose bills we're discussing, has said, we're going to sue you if you don't pay those bills. I'm not aware of any potential litigation. And so I'm objecting to going into closed session because I don't think that it really meets the requirements of the Open Public Meetings Act the way that I read the Act. And of course, we have an attorney and all of that whose opinion we rely upon for that. I also have another concern, and that is that was brought up by a member of the public concerning conflicts of interest among council members and also possibly the mayor in regard to the payment of these bills. There are council members who are here who have a unique set of concerns about this because there is potential for litigation. There is potential for civil and possibly even the potential for criminal liability. That creates a whole different set of standards for people because if we're all here as council members and we're here
to really represent what's in the best interest of the town, I believe that, that Councilwoman Lipote may have a different set of concerns than we do, since there is the possibility of criminal and civil allegations here and prosecution. I think if we do go into closed session, I think that, that there is the potential for a conflict of interest, and I'd like the borough attorney to advise us and the public now, before we go into closed session, whether or not there is a conflict of interest, or at least the appearance of one. I think there definitely is. I've had a number of people come up to me and say, you know, I don't understand how you all can be involved in this, and you know, since some of you have some different interests, and why is everybody pushing for paying these bills? You're not really representing the ratepayers then, if you are. There must be some other motivation going on. So I'm really concerned that whatever action we did take might be overturned, that we might open ourselves to litigation here if we don't really take a good close look at whether or not there exists at least the potential for a conflict of interest, or the public perception of a conflict of interest among certain members of the public body who may be involved in this matter, who may be discussing it in closed session, and who may actually be voting on it in open session. And those are the two issues that I'd like to address to the borough attorney before we go into closed session.
You're being redundant, so I'm going to stop you for a minute, because
I'm finished. Thank you.
Your continued request for opinions, et cetera, from the attorney, I'm not sure are proper. But I want to point something out, because we keep bringing this up. So I want to be clear. On at least one occasion, a Superior Court judge has said to you and others in this room, basically, you're making up facts. You're assuming facts.
Nobody ever.
And you're, excuse me.
That's a lie. No, I can't let that go. That's a lie.
Okay, Mike.
Show
get
me
the
public record.
Excuse me.
Says,
I'm speaking.
I
let
care.
You speak.
You're lying. Is
speak.
What you're doing when you're speaking,
Mike?
That's not true, and you know it, Jeff.
Mike, she said, and I quote:
"Not true.
That's not true. I was there. That's not what happened. We have the tape. We'll play it for you later. Okay?
No.
In the meantime." I'm sorry. Every time
that
I open my mouth,
not
every
true.
Time I open my mouth, I'm accused
Jeff.
Of lying, and I get interrupted. Now I have
let,
let the gentleman speak.
Go
I
right
am
ahead
speaking.
And bang that gavel if it makes
I
you
am
feel better.
Speaking,
you're lying about the.
But
judge.
You're not responding to the issue that I'm bringing up in this particular instance.
I am
instance.
About
you're,
to reply.
You're talking
to
about
to
something
it.
That happened.
No,
that, that you're alleging happened a long time ago. I'm asking for the borough attorney
actually,
to
Mike,
rule
I'm
on this
responding
before
to anything,
we
you're
go
not letting
into
me.
Executive session.
You're not letting me respond. So let me respond.
You're not letting the borough attorney to respond
no, I'm
to
not.
A request from a council person for
right.
a ruling on this.
Right.
We
I'm
have
not.
Him here for a reason, Jeff.
You asked for a discussion. We're
we
having a discussion.
We have him here for a reason
Mike,
to legally
we're not
advise
do this.
Us.
We're asking the council. We're asking our council's attorney to respond to Mike's question here.
I'm sorry.
Is there
I'm,
any conflict
I'm missing
of, is there any conflict of interest is what
I'm,
we're asking
I'm missing
here.
Something here.
Is there
okay.
a
we're asking
why
a
am I not permitted to speak?
Mike was asking the council.
I know what Mike was doing.
So you're not allowing him to get his question answered.
I want to speak before we ask the council to give an opinion. Okay? That's a courtesy I asked for. It's actually in Robert's rules. So I would like to say what I have to say. I don't know why this is a huge problem. Mike, are you afraid of what I'm going to say?
No, I'm
okay,
asking
then good.
For an you opinion from the borough attorney, Jeff.
You're asking for an opinion based on facts that you have just stated,
then let him
which
say,
are
let
incorrect.
Him state that that's not factual and there's
let
no
me
conflict
state
or there
it.
Is a conflict.
Let me state it simply.
Jeez, you can't even ask the borough attorney a question.
Can you just
Jesus,
can
I can't
please
even
move
talk.
On. Let the
no,
mayor
this
say
is
something.
A point of I'm making a point
move
of order.
On.
I already
why
did.
Why are our meeting so long, Mike? Why do you have to drag everything out? Mayor, please.
Can I
are you
the
ruling here? Are you controlling this meeting because we have side
and obviously
talk
I'm not controlling this meeting, Mike. Unless you're letting me speak, I'm not controlling the meeting.
I asked
so
the
if you're
going to
speak, I see
attorney.
No reason why she can't speak, he can't speak,
thank
everybody
you.
Can speak. Now, may I say what it is I want to say?
No.
Okay.
As a point of order, I asked a question of the borough attorney, and I'd like a response. Is there or is there not
your assumption,
at least the appearance of a conflict?
You are asking him a question based on a fact which is not true. You are asking him to rule on whether or not is a conflict of interest for Jill Lapode to consider whether or not to settle a case based on your assumption that she, excuse me, based on your assumption that she authorized the work. Now, I keep hearing this. I see no proof of it. She says she didn't do it. I was in the same meeting.
You're not the attorney. We're asking the borough attorney for advice. Can you please
get on facts that you made up.
Can you please? Then let him say that those are all made up facts.
I don't know. Well,
he's not in a position to disagree.
Yeah, I can't rule on the facts.
He wasn't there. But as the judge said, I was there.
He's trying to say something.
Yeah. I'm looking through the ethics law now. I don't see a provision there which would make this a conflict, at least as I'm looking at it here, now being presented with a question, whether the member has an interest to be expected to impair objectivity. You said criminal, whatever any member did here, does here in terms of a vote would not affect what a prosecutor would do in one way or another. This is not a prosecutorial body, and as to civil, no one member here would have any more civil liability than any of the others, at least as I can see it now, because an action would come against the borough. I don't see it at this point, at least just haven't been asked the question. I just don't.
May I ask a question also?
As a practical matter, I would point out that if Ms. Lapode, Dr. Lapode, had actually done what it is you keep accusing her of doing, without basis, I might point out. If
Excuse
she had
me,
done
she
that,
admitted it.
No, she did not.
She said, "My bad. Give me 20 lashes."
She
That's
said, "If it was
quote.
My, if it was my fault, you should come after
she
me, not,
not
try to ruin the town."
She did not say that. She
Fine.
Said, did say that.
Anyway, that is exactly
okay.
what she
may,
said.
May I ask,
anyway,
Mr. Shackley,
my
a question?
My point is that if Dr. Lapode had done exactly what it is you accuse her of doing, then it would be in her interest
potential.
To vote against payment of the engineers. Because if the engineers are not paid, then the statute that you cite, which I believe is not the only statute, the statute that you cite would not be violated. So the conflict would be she'd vote against paying the engineers, which is the position that you've taken.
This is why we have a borough attorney.
Okay, now may I ask my
I'm
question?
I'm sorry, I can't express my opinion?
No, you can.
Thank you.
I was asking
but
for
not
a legal.
As a municipal expert.
If I may, okay.
But I am.
What
no,
I have
you're not. You are not our municipal
If I may,
attorney.
Peggy, please. Right. What I have seen on invoices and from R3M have been your name, Jeff, and Jill's name, so it's possible that you could be in conflict of interest also.
What's my conflict?
Getting the bill paid because you're part of the people that requested the bill, the work to be done.
Where do you come up with this? Where do you come up with this? You were the one who requested the work to be done.
It's on the R3M bill, sir.
No, it's not.
Your name is on it, and Jill's
yeah,
name
my
is
name
on
is
it.
On it because they spoke to the mayor. They spoke to the head of utilities.
Well,
they
that's
came in and
that's
they
what
spoke
I'm saying.
To
if
the council.
We're talking about paying work that was done that was not appropriated, and your name and Jill's name were on the initial bills, then would that not be close to a conflict of interest?
No, it would not. Not in the legal sense, the moral sense, or the ethical sense. I have never authorized them to do any work other than the contract that we signed with them.
Who authorized the work to be done?
We all did.
Who's we all?
Which work are you talking about?
You know,
about?
We're really getting into things that really are yeah. could be in the
okay.
closed session.
So,
I mean,
all right.
Well,
so we
this
have the discussion
like
about the closed session.
Should this really be a closed session?
But the borough attorney feels comfortable that there, as you see it now, that there's no conflict of interest or the appearance of a conflict.
I don't see any, as I see it now, just having presented the issue, I don't see any provision of this act that is being violated. As I see.
Right. I'm calling for a vote. Please
can we
go into closed session.
Before we do the closed session.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
No.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
No.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Ms. Mr. Trammell?
No.
Okay, I vote we go into closed session.
Can we take a, are we allowed to take a recess?
Yes, we'll take a recess. Everybody's got to leave anyway, so it's a good time to have a drink. And I remind everybody once again that either direct conversation during this closed session, after the closed session, or any time about the information in the closed session, the breach of the fiduciary duty.
Thank you very much.